Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Is it just me, or is the mic a bit softer today? It is, right? Yeah, because... Can y'all hear me from behind? Can y'all hear me from behind? Yeah, see? Is there a difference between these two? Is there a significant difference between these two? Yeah, so you're hearing me mainly because of my voice projection. Like, is there a difference? There should be a difference, but, you know, something is not quite right with the setup. How about this? Yeah, so I have to put the mic right to my mouth. If the, you know, they say, if somebody don't go to the mountain, bring the mountain to the somebody or something. Yeah. So if the mic is not working so well, we bring the mic closer to Sifu's mouth. Okay, let me just get this set up. So, I see a few new faces today. Let's see what we can do. Yeah, oops, wrong one. Can y'all see me? Can see me or not? Okay, let me see. On my left, anyone who is new? Are you new? You look new. Are you new? No lah, she's been attending the class. I think she's one of the most regular ones. Yeah. You don't look at her petite size. She has a lot of wisdom in her. Yeah, correct or not? See, so much humility in her. In her years, she's wise beyond her years. Let me see who else is. Ah, Thomas. Hello. How have you been? Hey, have you finished your studies already?
Yeah,
so what are you doing now?
I'm waiting for results.
Ah, okay. Yeah. After that?
Teaching.
Okay. I remember you major in Chinese, right?
Yeah.
华文老师. You know my impression with Chinese teacher? Yeah. I remember a few key Chinese teachers. P3, Wu Lao Shi. Yeah. She gave me a very valuable gift, the gift of the five. So one day I went back home and my mom looked at me and asked me, did something happen in school? I'm like, no, nothing happened. Then my mom is like, sure not. Yeah, nothing happened. Then my mom is like, if nothing happened, why is your face red? Yeah. Can you do this now? Cannot lah. Teachers last time, wow, never do homework. Yeah, that was how Chinese teachers were steady. Then in upper primary, then Qiu Lao Shi. Wow, he is Mr. Cool, and he is in charge of discipline. He's a discipline master, and he's also the teacher in charge for prefects. And I happen to be a prefect, actually. One too many times, I didn't do my homework. So he called me up. Then I walked over. And you would think that the teacher would just throw you the exercise book, right? No, he threw out the window. Yeah. So, you know, third story. How to have obesity last time? Yeah. But these days, can you do that? Cannot. You do that, you will appear in the internet. Yeah. But times have changed. Yeah, pedagogy has changed. So who else is here for the... let me see. You look new. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
Hi, I'm Kadel. I'm 33 this year. Basically, I got to know this class from the meditation class that's upcoming on the 10th of May.
Ah, I see. Wonderful. Next Friday. Ah, nice. Kadel, 33. That's more information that I usually used to, but good to know. Current occupation?
I'm doing design and build for commercial buildings, like office, restaurant.
Interior or external? Interior. Ah, okay. Good to know. So, anybody in need of interior design? Kadel. Good. Welcome. Sean and Cheryl, they are together, and I think Cheryl do some design also, right? But more on graphics design, is it? Not really, is it? So who do design?
Oh, she do crafting.
What kind of crafting? Huh? So, some kind of design related in a way. Okay, welcome. And the gentleman next to Kadel?
Hi, I'm Kevin. So I know about this class for my friend Marcel.
Ah. Yeah. And you want to give similar information? It's optional.
Yes, I'm 24.
Okay. Yeah. And what are you currently doing?
I'm a recruitment agent. Yeah.
Recruitment agent. Recruiting for what?
For me, I'm working for building and infrastructure sectors. So, yeah, civil engineers, designers.
Okay. Welcome. And behind Erwan and you brought
Cheryl.
Ah, so we have Cheryl.
Sharon.
And how do you get to know? Huh?
My girlfriend.
Ah, okay. Got to be clear about that. Yes. Yes. I heard the good news. So congrats. I don't know when the good news is. Oh, am I supposed not to say?
Planning to.
Oh, okay. Yes. Welcome. Let me see. Who else is here for the? And we have a very astute, very serious-looking gentleman who has shorter hair than me. The one. Hello. Someone give him a slap. give him a poke, maybe. Yes. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
You walked past.
Yeah. Okay. And so what's your name?
My name is Jay.
Yes. J-A-Y.
Just J.
Yes. Is it an abbreviation?
Jamyang is my name.
Jamyang.
Yes. What, which kind?
Jamyang Sonam, Thailand. Or Korean? Tibetan. Yes. So wait. You are Tibetan or is just a Tibetan name?
It's just a Tibetan name.
Ah, okay. I see. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, occasionally we have students who happen to walk past. Happen in Buddhist Union also. In fact, sometimes the occurrence is so, some of them happen to be in Singapore and happen to walk past and then happen to turn up. Yeah, so welcome to SGC, all of you, where we have some chanting, some meditation, and some Dhamma sharing. Apologies for the timing today. We had the Buddhist Library Mother's Day celebration lunch. Yeah, so I had thought I can leave at 1 because I was thinking that, you know, the other Bhantes, they should have finished their lunch by 1. It turned out by 1:20 they were still serving a few more dishes. So I'm like, I need to leave now. So they actually expedited the rest of the dishes. And then we left as soon as we can. I hope you all had a quiet half an hour earlier. Did you all have a good sitting? Did you all feel that, wasted my time? Did you all feel that it was a waste of the time? Even if you feel so, you don't dare to say that, right? Yeah. But my sincere apologies for that. And despite that, we must know that no one can waste our time. The only person who can waste our time is ourselves. Yeah. No matter what happens, we decide whether the time is wasted or not. Yeah. Sometimes I forget also. And when I forget, then I get upset. And then I feel indignated, you know. I feel like, oh, how come this person is late? How come this is happening? How come that is happening? And then sometimes I remember. And then no matter what happened, okay, now there's this, even if it's 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or 10, okay, then I'll just do some sitting. Like a few weeks, one week ago, I was coming back from Lanka. As you all know, there was the horrific bombing. And we were told to arrive 4 hours before our flight. I'm known to be someone who arrived like half an hour before the flight, or what, at most 1 hour before the flight. I've ever set off for the airport 1 hour before the flight. And somehow, when I arrived at the gate, when I arrived and I sit down there, I still had time to wait for them to do boarding. But that day was different because there were checkpoints and all over the place. So I dutifully set off, 7 hours before my flight. Yeah, I set off at 6 from Paramita at Kandy. Took about 2 to 3 hours, close to 3 hours, before we reached the very outskirts of the airport. Yeah. And then by virtue that we are monks, so we were given this express lane to just go all the way in, and just the Bhante can just drop me there. Got in, and then along the way, at each of the long massive queue, I was again given expedite access. Then at one of the queue, which is where you get your boarding pass, I was like, you know, when you get used to special treatment, then you kind of like, will they come and ferry me and, you know, usher me? Then I thought, no, shouldn't exercise that too much, you know. So I just joined the queue. And I waited for about 9 minutes before someone came over and said, Bhante, you can go over that side. But before that happened, I asked myself, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to wave around and say, hey, look at me, I'm a monk, you know? But I decided, okay, since I'm here, I'm going to just do what I've been doing, you know, just stand. And then I just set my timer and do standing meditation. Yeah. It may have appeared weird to the people in front and behind me because everybody was fidgeting and then checking their phone and everything. And this monk just stand there and then, and then when the queue moved, come alive again. So it was not wasted. But in the end, 9 minutes later, someone came over and ushered me to another queue, and then I cleared everything. Got in about 3 to 4 hours before my flight. Yeah, so I was at 8 o'clock, I'm like, wow, I'm really early this time. Yeah. So I decided to find some seat, sat down, but then it was one of those metallic seats, so I keep sliding off. Yeah. I try to meditate, but I cannot. Just keep sliding off. So, okay, can't. Walk around. Went to a toilet. And then found that the toilet corridor was super quiet. So I decided to sit there. Then I turned around and I saw that it was actually the Buddhist cultural shop. So just nice. Rows of Buddhas and then a monk. Yeah. So I spent 1 hour sitting there. But before I started, one Amor lady looked at me as I was sitting down. Then she looked at me with like, and then the first thing she said, "Is that painful?" So see me bending my legs. But yeah, if we are in such a situation or any such situation, we may feel like, I arrived too early, or why is all this happening? And then we can spend all the time lamenting about it, posting on Facebook. Well, Facebook was shut down. We can spend all that time, whether posting online or in our mind. Yeah, we can post all kinds of things and get frustrated. Or we can make good use of our time. But that's another topic for another day. Today's topic is managing expectations from family or something like that. This topic is rather interesting, I think. All of us, in some ways, would have faced expectations from others. And in a way, not just from families, but from anybody around us. Yeah, from anybody around us. Even when you are in a lift, yeah. Do you know that there are studies about how human beings react when you go into a lift? Yeah. There's this study about how there's this unspoken social contract that when people step into a lift, you would naturally just fill up the four corners first. Yeah. And usually opposing direction, yeah, or sides compared to what was already there. So if you go in first, you are first deep, and you decide where you want to stand. Yeah, and depending on the culture, in some cultures, the first person to go in will just stand near to the buttons. In some cultures, they would stand away from the buttons. So then that depends. But once there are people inside, then social things that we would just stand and give each other some space. So try this the next time. When you go into a lift, like there's only two person waiting, right? You and another person. The person go in, stand in one corner. Let me try to get this out and draw it out and let you have a clearer picture. Don't know what's happening. I fully charged this guy. Maybe that's why in the Buddha's time more people get enlightened, because the Buddha didn't have to depend on the projector and the screen. Yeah. It is somehow, wow, this is very bent. Okay. And this, I got a feeling this is a bit more center than usual. So this guy is very lifted up. Okay, it's powering up. Let's see whether. Good. So imagine if you get into a lift. And then the first person stand next to the buttons, right? Yeah. Where would y'all stand? Would y'all go in and stand at the opposite corner or the other side? Yeah. Most of us would. So try this. Like, only two of you, the guy go in, or girl for that matter. Guys, if it's a girl, don't do this, okay? You don't get yourself in trouble. Like, imagine. Let me draw it out. This would be quite fun. So imagine, if you will, this proverbial lift. So today's managing expectations. How? Well, so how? Did it come out? But how about the setting there? Is it correct? Yeah. Or you all can all crowd around and look at this small screen. Yeah. Or I will just give a normal Dharma talk and put this aside. Yeah. And then you all just listen, okay? So imagine there's this square. Imagine if you go in and you just stand next to the guy. Yeah. How do you think the guy would feel? A bit intimidated, a bit awkward. Yeah. And depending on who you are, yeah. And then you are a cute young girl, and then you stand next, you know, that guy might feel, hey, I'm getting lucky today. Yeah. So depending on the situation, there's usually some expectation anyway. Yeah. So sometimes when we think about expectations from our family, we may feel that it's unwarranted, we may feel like, you know, why should there be an expectation? But the truth is, in any kind of interrelation, there is always some kind of expectation, whether written or unwritten, spoken or not. Yeah. The good thing about a leaf relationship is you're in and you're out in that few minutes. Unless, you know, the leaf breaks down, there's a power outage, and then your relationship is indefinitely lengthened. Yeah, then you may have to decide how you want to further this relationship. But with families, you cannot just bail out. Yeah, with families, it's a bit trickier. So there are a lot of different expectations between different groups of individuals. And we are focusing on family because last I checked, we spend a good amount of our life, yeah, interacting with our families. And among the different relations we have with others, the expectations from family also carry certain connotation. Yeah? It carries the emotional bond that comes with it. Like if your friend expects something from you, you may feel that it is agreeable or not agreeable. Thank you, Toping. Yeah. Do you see the box below?
Yes.
And do you see the four numbers?
Yes.
What is the four numbers? Huh?
All four.
All four. All four should be correct. But it's okay. Come. Yeah. Did you catch what I said just now?
Yes. About
more
my
or less.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes conditions is such. Then we can lift it up, and then the Buddha don't have to hide behind the screen. Yeah, this place is wonderful, but if there's one thing I sometimes cringe is whenever I use the screen, then I feel like I'm blocking the Buddha. But fortunately, the Buddha don't have expectations. Besides the fact it's a statue, so yeah, even the real Buddha, I think he'll be quite okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's a real Buddha, would that be bad karma for putting a slide in front of him? So, like with friends, if the expectations, yeah, if the expectations is beyond what you think is fair, is valid or called for, then at most you just say no. Yeah. For example, wait, is your eye okay? Oh. Yeah. From all the, you know, bruises and so on, kind of can tell how well you fight. Yeah. For those who want to learn self-defense, Kali style, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can look for her. She'll bring you to the school. You learn there, not learn from her. Yeah. So yeah, friends' expectations. Like for example, have you encountered friends who expect too much from you? I'm sure we have that one or two friends who somehow have some expectations that is beyond what you can deliver. Then what do you do? What do you all do when you encounter such a friend? Like maybe in primary school, yeah, some friends expect that, oh, because your friend, okay, there are a lot of friends, so let's call the friend A, B, C, okay? Like let's say you have a friend A, and friend A don't like friend B. Then friend A expect you not to hang out with friend B. Encountered that before? Yes. This is most common. So just now when we talk about expectations, we may initially feel like, no, my friends don't have much. But yes, sometimes they have such expectations, isn't it? But sometimes such expectations is spoken, sometimes not spoken. Yeah. Oftentimes, it's the unspoken expectation that's tricky. You know? Like if your friend just tell you up front, I don't like you to hang out with that friend. Okay, at least you know. Yeah. Then you have a choice. Yeah? Knowing means that you have a choice, whether to fulfill it or not fulfill it. Maybe you may say, okay, fine, if you're not happy with me hanging out with that friend, I will not hang out. But you may say it with your fingers crossed, and then only hang out when that friend is not around. Yeah, if friend B is important enough for you, yeah, and friend A is important enough for you too. Because if friend A is not so important, then you're going to just say, that's your problem, deal with it, man. Yeah. But it'd be funny if, let's say you're in primary school, like you're in, which level are you? P3? P4? You look kind of, yeah, okay, P4, P4. Okay. Like a teaser. Yeah. So imagine, have your friend ever tell you like, deal with it? Yes? Really? You don't know. Have you ever told your friend off like that? Your friend tell you something and then you're like, deal with it. Hey, you should try, you know. Well, but if you try and you lose friends, don't come back to me. And yeah, no, actually, if you try, you may have to come back to me. You may have to join the Sangha soon. No more friends. Yeah. So, oh, welcome. Oh, so quickly you bring more friends. Well done. Oh, so you are the front, the forward observer. And then, okay, this talk seems interesting enough. Let's bring in the rest. Welcome. What's your name? And I presume you came with him. Cheng Lei. You're Cheng Lei? And you?
Yang Ling.
Cheng Lei, Yang Lei, and what's your name again?
Jay.
Jay something. The Tibetan
just
name.
Jay.
Okay, just Jay. Okay. Yeah, so so imagine if your friends make certain demands. Okay, and we were talking about how sometimes something simple like just saying, you know, I don't want you to hang out with that friend. It can be spoken. Yeah. When it's spoken, you have a right to decide how you're to act. The same goes for family expectations. When your family members explicitly tell you certain expectations, then at least you can do something about it. The tricky ones are the expectations that are unspoken. You know? Yeah. That you didn't even know because it's unspoken. Unless you think in the same way, then you would maybe kind of anticipate or guess, speculate that maybe there is such an expectation. And as human beings, we often do that. Yeah, we observe people's behavior and then we sort of anticipate. When you do it correctly, it's called 默契. It's called, what do you call that? Chemistry, rapport. Yeah, when you guess correctly. When you guess correctly, or no, when you guess wrongly, it's called gei kiang. Yeah. But we try. Yeah, we try. Sometimes we have a hit, sometimes we have a miss. Yeah. But let's come back to the friend. Like, let's say if your friend never tell you, okay? Yeah. But you, over time, you may observe certain pattern. You may observe that, hey, how come every time when you hang out with friend B, then friend A will give you a face, you know? Yeah. Usually that's what happened, you know? Yeah, they will give you a face. And the best thing is, if you ask friend A, like, is everything okay? Yeah, then sometimes the friend A will like, yeah, of course. Why? What's wrong? Why should anything not be okay? Oh. For those guys who are in relationships, you should know by now. Yeah, when your girlfriend give you the, yes, everything is okay, it means it's not okay. No, but not always true. Sometimes it's the guy, you know. Yeah, guys are, now it's quite equal. Guys also do this nowadays. Yeah, so everything is fair. Yeah. But as a result, then you have, how do you all feel when your friend, whether it's your best friend, your normal friends, or your partner, you know, how do you all feel when that happens? Do you all feel happy when your friend give you that face that, okay, yeah, everything is okay. Why? Anything wrong? Yeah. How do you all feel? Do you all feel good? But let's switch the role. How about those who are saying this? Do you all feel good? Don't feel good also, right? Yeah. So I've been thinking about this, you know. Nobody feel good about the whole process, but somehow it's happening. Yeah. And it doesn't get anybody anywhere. So today's session is not simply about people on the receiving end, but also people on the giving end. Yeah, because relationships goes both ways. Expectations goes both ways. Oftentimes when you feel like, oh, my family is having expectations of me. But actually, we also have expectations of our family. Yeah, how best to manage that? Managing doesn't mean you will get your way. Yeah. That's one of the first things I share with students when they come to see me for counseling. Yeah. Oftentimes I'll ask them first, like, what do you hope to get out of the session? Yeah. I learned to ask this question over the years. Many years ago when I was just back from US, I almost never asked this question. In fact, this question never popped up in my mind. I'll just listen to what people have to say, and before they even finish, at least I think they have finished, but in fact they haven't finished, and I'll just launch into my avalanche of different methods and approaches and principles and teachings, and I'll cite sutras and nikayas and agamas and whatever I can think of, you know, and drown them basically. Yeah, until they are so yeah. And over time, I realized that that doesn't help. Then I started asking people. Yeah, let them tell me. Yeah, what do you want to get out of this session? And you know what happened? When I really asked them, sometimes they look at me like, okay, the funniest response. Let me start with the funniest response is, I don't know, that's why I'm here to see you. You know, sometimes people genuinely don't know. More often than not, they have some idea of what they want. Yeah. And if I don't ask them, many times I may not know. Yeah. I may guess, but why leave it to guessing? You know, when you can just ask them. Yeah. So that's to me one part of managing the expectations. Yeah. Instead of letting the person like, wait until they tell us, maybe we should just sit down with them and ask them, like, so what do you expect from me? Or what do you expect from this whole thing? And it can be a child to the parent, yeah? Maybe in terms of our studies, our career, our family, our future family, where we stay, what we do, how many kids to have. Does it matter how many kids your parents want you to have? For the young people, do you even care? So that's the second thing I want to tell you. Don't ask about something that you don't care. Like, like, if you ask them, then they start to have expectation that you're going to take their advice, you know. Like, ma, how many grandchildren would you like to have? Then they come with some magic number, and I'm like, oh, by the way, I don't care. So sometimes it's good to know where you are headed with whatever you're going to tell them. Yeah. And all this comes back to communication. Yeah, it really comes back to communication. Yeah, communicating what we expect from people, and then also asking the others, yeah, what they need from us. Because you must know that at the end of the day, expectation is about needs. And that's also why sometimes people don't convey their expectations. Because, now not everybody will agree, but I suspect that sometimes we don't convey our need because it seems to put us on a weaker position, that we need something from others. So instead of saying that I need you, need this from you, I don't, you know. Then I just make it as though it is an expected thing. Yeah. So it's not that I need it, you know, but you should have known. Yeah, which is quite a common statement, isn't it? 这种东西还要讲的吗? Yeah. Do you really need me to spell it out for you? Come on! As a human being, you know, such statements sometimes come up in arguments. As a human being, come on, this is a minimum expectation. Why do people say such things? Yeah, because they don't want to position themselves in a place of need. Yeah, because they see it as being weak. Do you all think it's weak? That it is not. Yeah. Knowing what you need and being able to express it is not a bad thing. It's not a weak sign of weakness. Yeah. I mean, think about it. If you're hungry, you're hungry. Right? If you're thirsty, you're thirsty. Yeah. Telling people that you're hungry is not a sign of weakness. Yeah. Not daring to speak up and tell people that you're hungry, that's a sign of weakness. Yeah. But if you are on the giving end, then that's something to take note of. Yeah, that sometimes, to check ourselves, do we hesitate to tell others about what we need from them? Yeah, which is actually what we expect from them. Depending on how you phrase it, yeah, it can come across as a demand, yeah, or an expectation. But you notice that if you turn it around and you share with them why you need that, then suddenly it's not a domineering angle, you know. It's not, I expect this from you, but I need your help. Yeah. Like, for example, the setup, you know. Yeah. We can say, I demand that this have to be done. Or we can position it as, well, we do need something to be set up so that everybody can learn. Yeah. Then it's a shift. Yeah, it's a shift. But if we are on the receiving end, then how to make it easier for the other person to be comfortable to share their needs? And I tell you, we cannot start the communication process at the point when the need is dire. And that's a bit too late, really. Yeah. You know, sometimes we say that, you know, we spend time with our friend and talk rubbish. I tell you, talking rubbish is quite important, you know. Yeah. Yeah. That's why when I spend time with kids, many times I talk rubbish with them. My mom will say, "Aiyah, cannot give na." Yeah. But it's about building up that rapport. Yeah. If you don't talk rubbish with them, they are not going to talk anything serious with you. Yeah. I mean, think about it. If your friend only contact you when they need your help, what kind of friend is that? Right? Whereas the friend who, you know, nothing, like itchy backside, nothing, then always come and disturb you. Hey, what are you doing? You know? Then it's more likely that when you have trouble, you're going to tell the friend, like, hey, I need some help. Isn't it? Yeah. So the same goes for family, you know. Yeah, the same goes for family. And mind you, it's easy for us to think that, oh, Shifu is talking about parents. Huh? Parents must reach out. No, it is both ways. Yeah. Time and again, I see all the parenting book, or not the book, but you know, sometimes articles and stuff. And it's always, the onus is always on parents. Oh, parents, you must do this, you must reach out, you must do this. It's like, how about the kids? Shouldn't the kids even do anything? You know this? Yeah, that in the recent years, the past 10, 15 years, it's all about what parents must do, what educators must do, what the schools must do, what everybody must do, but there's very little focus on what kids must do. It's like, kids, just sit down there. So what are you going to do for me? Why must it be this way? I don't say that it is all about kids also. I say it's what some principals would say, equal partnership. You know, when they give talks, right, then they'll talk about, our parents are our equal partners, you know, in this path of education. Yeah. Yeah, so as a child, and I'm not talking about just the young kids, I'm talking about each and every one of us who is a child to someone. Yeah, don't wait for our parents to come and reach out to you. Reach out to our parents. Yeah, go and hello them. Yeah, don't wait until you need to discuss something serious, then go and discuss with them. And don't expect them to come and discuss something serious with you if you don't talk nonsense with them. Now, it may, some of you who is like super, what do you call that, staunch about the Noble Eightfold Path may say, hey, Shifu, what about right speech? Huh? The four right speech. To abstain from lying, harsh speech, divisive speech, idle chatter, Shifu. But time and again, when I look at the Nikayas, you know, if you look at the Nikayas, at one time, yeah, Venerable Sariputra was at Savatthi. There, he was among the monks. And other monks from Kosala came and they greeted each other, cordial, and had cordial talk among each other. And when all was done, they paid respect and then they sat to one side. You notice that in almost every sutta, whether it's monks towards monks, or monks with the Buddhas, or Brahmins with the Buddha, or the ascetics with the Buddha, or the Brahmins with the Buddha, or the Brahmins with the... Okay, enough, you know, all the combination. You'll notice that in the opening, there's always this mention of cordial talk. Yeah, that's the talk rubbish part, in a way, Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, it's not that the Buddha opened the mouth then, Four Noble Truth. You know, whole day in and out, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Buddha, zi ba le miao, anicca, dukkha. Fun. Yeah? Can you imagine everybody go to Buddha, anicca, dukkha. Then Buddha one day, zi ba leo leo. Yeah, they do engage in the kind of, how are you? Okay. Yeah, they do. And it's through this, then there's that rapport. Yeah, that they show care for each other. And that part is very crucial. Because if that part is not there, then no wonder by the time it reached the crucial point, then there's this mismatch between someone's expectations and what is happening. Yeah. By the time it reached that point, it's usually a bit late. Yeah, the real work has to be done way beforehand. It's kind of like now in Sri Lanka, you know, you can put in all the security and guards and everything and talk until the cow come home, literally in some sense. Yeah, but in a way, it's too late. Yeah, but still not too late in a way, because if we start the conversation now and start the relationship building, then it will prevent the next one, the future ones. Yeah. But while within a family, we don't bomb each other, but sometimes we have our own bombs, you know. Yeah, we have our own flare-up. Yeah. The bombing in Colombo is really an expression on a more violent scale. Yeah, but within our own family, sometimes we have explosions. Why do we have explosions? Because expectations are not met. But why is it not met? Sometimes it's because it's not communicated. Sometimes it's just that it cannot be met. Yeah. But if it was communicated, then the fact that it cannot be met could have been raised. Yeah. Then there will not be an explosion at the end. Yeah. So managing expectations has to occur way before that. Yeah. And many times communications is part of the process. Knowing that the expectations may not always be met, yeah, is one thing. One very crucial thing. Yeah. Because sometimes I've encountered students where first they don't communicate, then they learn, oh, they should communicate. But after communicating, then they, I tried, like, Sifu. So, oh, you tried? Then how? Yeah, I tell them. But they never follow my instructions. They never do anything. So that's the other thing. Just because we communicate, we must know that individuals are not like light bulbs, you know. Switch on, bang, it should turn on. Switch off, it should switch off. No. And especially when expectations is about human beings, then it's about behavior. Yeah. Because oftentimes it's a repetitive, our expectations are about repeated behavior. I mean, behavior by definition is repetition, repetitive. And if it's repetitive, it means that it took a while to form up. Then, by virtue of that, it's going to take a while to unwind. Yeah. So, when we have expectations of others, it's so important to calibrate our own expectations of what's going to happen. Yeah. So we should communicate. Yeah. Not so much just our expectations, but also our needs, which is why we have those expectations. Yeah, so that's really a lot about honesty with ourselves and others. Yeah, don't look at it as a sign of weakness, but to genuinely know. And this is about honesty because sometimes we may not be comfortable to share. It's also about clarity. Because sometimes we have certain expectations, but we don't really know why we have that expectation as well. And I don't encourage the kind of just talk about it. Yeah. But through this process, we should work towards not just talking and feel good and then, okay, yeah. Which is what sometimes people do as well. Just talk and then feel good. But there's no takeaway, there's no no agreed upon outcome. That part is important. Yeah. Because through that process, we also get to know ourselves better. Yeah. Why do we want that outcome? Is it some need of ours? And if we are on the receiving end, don't take it that, you know, wow, Sifu, if I engage in this kind of conversation, then I'm on the losing end, you know. I have to change myself. Like, no, don't look at it that way. Yes, sometimes we have to change ourselves. I mean, life is all about changes. But think about it. If we are in any kind of meaningful relationship with another person, wouldn't we want to know about that person? I sometimes ask students, yeah, especially when I speak to teenagers, I ask them one funny exercise. How much do you know about your best friend? Wow, then they can write a lot of things. Wow, their favorite movie, their favorite song, their favorite band, the kind of food they like, the kind of brand they like, whatever. Wow, all kind of nonsense they can. Wow. And I ask them, how about your mom? Huh? Yeah, what about your mom? What is the favorite singer that your mom like? My mom? Don't know lah. Yeah. And that's the funny thing, you know. Sometimes, not so much a fault of teenagers or any of us for that matter. But it's that we sometimes have very fixed mode of engagement with certain individuals. Because with friends, to begin with, It is not a natural relationship. It didn't just happen. You have to work towards building it up. And as a result, the mode of engagement is naturally tending towards you putting in effort. And because if you don't put in effort, your friend may just drift away. So you know, at the back of your mind, you need to put in effort. But with your siblings, especially siblings or parents, every day you wake up, there what? What you want? You know? Like, I didn't even choose you to be my sister. I mean, if I can choose, I'll be the big sister. Right? Tell me no. Yeah? Your deepest, darkest dream, right? You always want to be an elder sister, isn't it? Okay. So, how does Shifu know? Oh, he's good. Yeah. And then, meanwhile, you think your sister want to be the eldest? Your sister, you think I want to be eldest? I have no choice. I don't know what happened. But yeah. So with sibling relationship, the natural state is you don't have to do anything because you didn't do anything and she's your sister. You didn't do anything and you are the sister already. And no matter how you are nasty to her, she's still your sister. So, okay, there's no impetus to be nice. Oh, did I just teach you something wrong? But unconsciously, that's what happens in our mind, you know. And before you think that it's just siblings, parent-child as well, you know. And that's why some kids, like, you know, because they don't get what they want, then they vent their frustration with their parents. Why? Because it's almost like, well, the kind of relationship that was already ingrained. Yeah, I don't have to do anything, you're my parent, you have to do this, you have to do that. So it takes time for that to change. But we must recognize that the kind of relationship we have doesn't have to continue that way. Rather, we have to ask ourselves, the mode of engagement, is that the best moving forward? What is the best approach? Between couples, yeah? It starts off like a normal friend, so you put in effort, then you get steady, then steady, you rima, what you want? Worse still, get married it. Every week up. Yeah, it is what happens, you know? Yeah. But the truth is, today you wake up this person, tomorrow maybe not there, you know? Not that the person died, but the person can choose not to be there one, you know? Yeah, for whatever reasons. And until we realize that, we will not put in that kind of same kind of fervor and effort that we started the relationship with. We'll continue to just take the person for granted, just like our siblings. Wake up. No, that's what you want. And so, all this will shape the way we relate to each other. And with it, expectations, yeah, demands, and how we communicate. It doesn't have to be that way. And I'm not here to tell you how it should be. No, it sounds almost cliche, but the first time I heard someone say that, I'm like, I'm here for the talk, then you tell me you're not here to tell me, like, what? Yeah, but over the years, I realized that, yeah, I start to appreciate this statement, and I keep telling people this. I'm not here to tell you how to have that relationship. I mean, if you want, I can tell you. Yeah, I'm quite a decisive person in that matter. Yeah, I'm quite happy to just tell you, okay, do this, do that. Yeah. But I won't do that because it doesn't help you. Because at the end of the day, you are the one who is in the relationship, not me. You are the one who is going to face the outcome, not me. If it's me, then I will decide. But it's you. So you have to decide. I'll be happy to share my viewpoint to say, hey, have you considered this angle or that angle? How about this approach? But ultimately, we have to decide. Because at the moment, at that very moment, when something happened, you are there. I'm not there. And you cannot say, hang on, Let me text Sifu first. Sifu, crisis. Can you tell me what to do now? Doesn't work. Yeah. But each and every one of us have to ask ourselves. The expectations we have of our family, the expectations our family have of us, why do they have such expectations? Why do we have such expectations? And ultimately, whether it's within the family or among friends, our spouse, with our partners, we have to ask ourselves, why are we together? And how do we want to be together tomorrow? Are we happy with the way we are together in the past and today? And then how about tomorrow? I want to wrap up by asking you to do a very simple exercise which some of you have done before. I want you to follow me in whatever I'm doing. Do not move. Yeah, I know. The moment everybody, I want to go into jhana position. Oh. No. In whatever position you're in, just hold it there. And I want you to just lean to your... I want you to lean to the side, close to 45 degrees. Okay? And hold it there, okay? You hold it there. Okay? You hold it there. I want you to hold it there. For as long as you can, and kind of raise your right eyebrow if you start to feel a bit of ache, a bit of discomfort. Yeah. If you don't feel discomfort, then maybe you want to pinch yourself or something. If you lean far enough and hold it long enough, how do y'all feel? Is this comfortable? Now, under normal circumstances, what would you do? What would you do? You would just move back, right? Very good. You see, you all have the wisdom. When a position hurts, move away from that position. If a certain mental position hurts, move away from it. Shift, change it. If a certain interaction is hurting you or the other person, then abandon it. Consider other forms of interaction. It's that simple, really. But first thing you need to recognize is that is not the only position. Yeah. Physically, it's easy to see. Yeah. Anytime you're in a difficult position, you just shift. Yeah, but when we meditate, you must know meditation is as dynamic as that. It's not a static process, just sit there and hold still and become a stone, carbonite. No, you know. Meditation is an active dynamic process of observing ourselves, observing and calibrating and tuning and adjusting. But in this case, adjusting our mind. Learning to tune our mind, adjust our mind, move our mind. If you consider all the different schools, all the different traditions, all the practices is moving us baby steps towards being able to do that. And so as we meditate, we should find ourselves becoming, so to speak, becoming more and more flexible. Not holding on so strongly to this or that is causing harm to ourselves. And then it is very liberating. Then you realize, yeah, my goodness, why have I been all this while? Why am I mistreating ourselves? Then you appreciate, when we say, practicing loving kindness, learn to be kind to ourselves first. That is about, that's this awareness. Because if you're not aware of how things are inside, how can you be kind to yourself? And if you cannot even be kind to yourself, how can you be kind to others? Okay? So I hope you take this away and learn to shift whenever it's uncomfortable. Put our palms together. Yen xiao san zang zu fan nao.
Yen xiao
san zang zu fan nao. Yen da zi hui zhen ming liao. Pu yen zui zang xi xiao chu. Shi shi chang xing pu sa dao. 阿弥陀佛，起立。